Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled According to the Truth. These are the words spoken by Paul to the Galatians. It was his indictment of the Galatians because they were conforming to false doctrine, which was that they still needed to follow the law. Instead of walking according to the truth of the gospel, they were believing a lie. My question to you today is this: what are you believing that is not according to the truth? Because whatever that is, it's false doctrine and there's no power in it. I hope that you'll enjoy this message. Let's go ahead and begin with prayer. Father, we're so thankful and we're so grateful for what's been accomplished for us in Jesus. We thank you for your word that you've given to us, that reveals to us truth and reveals all of the promises and all of the blessings that belong to us already. Glory to God. And I thank you, Father, for the Holy Ghost who's unveiling, revealing to us these truths so that we can walk in them, we can benefit in them. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. We come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you now in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I purpose in my heart to just make myself available to you to speak through me right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So here recently, the Lord's been teaching me a little bit more about grace, and some of the messages here as of late have been talking about grace, and particularly as it relates to the book of Galatians is what he's been having me look at. So this evening, we're going to look at some of the words that Paul wrote in Galatians, particularly in the second chapter. And when you look at the second chapter and what was transpiring in these events here, what we see is Paul ministering to the Galatian people, and Peter had come to visit them. And in the course of events, we see that Peter had played the hypocrite, and I've talked about this in I think it's a couple of months ago. We looked at Peter and these particular events and how he had acquiesced to the pressure, the peer pressure that was being placed on him because of the people that had come to visit from Jerusalem. It was the somewhat among us, I guess is how you would put it, the people that they thought of themselves as important, and I think other people looked at them as important as they came to where Paul and Barnabas and the people were ministering. And Peter, instead of continuing to fellowship with the Gentiles, separated himself. And Paul didn't like that. He didn't like it because here was the man that had the revelation of what it meant to be saved by grace, and no matter if you were Jew or Gentile. He had the revelation, we talked about that before, out of Acts chapter 10, where the veil was let down by the four corners, and he was told to kill and eat, and his response was, I'm not going to partake of anything unclean. And God's response to him was, whatever I say is clean, it's clean. And that in that vision was God's revelation to mankind through Peter that all of us could receive the gospel by grace. And here's the man, Peter, that had that revelation, and here he is being a hypocrite when the people from Jerusalem came. And why was that? It's very interesting to me when I look at this person that walked with Jesus, the Apostle Peter, And I think about how could he have had that revelation, and yet when the pressure from his peers, these leaders from Jerusalem, when that, and it, they hadn't even really arrived yet, and he's separating himself. So it's all in his mind, and he is, he's being a hypocrite, he's separating, and not only him, but other people are being influenced. And I want to look at the other people that were influenced by this. So look at Galatians chapter 2, because there's one person in particular that I wanted to draw our attention to this evening. And if we can look at the second chapter of Galatians, we'll begin in the first verse. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas, and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which are of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, now look at these words, these just really have, God's been really bringing these to my attention, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. Look at those words right there. Titus was, he was a Greek. So what does that mean? Well, he would have been a Gentile. He was not a born Jew. So in this time period right here, where they're struggling with this idea of completely walking free of the law, not having to do the law, not having to perform the dictates of the law. They're struggling with that. So here's a Gentile, and he is feeling that pressure to conform to the thoughts, the ideas, the what's commonly acceptable, what others believe to be true. That's a really strong point right there. The people that are around them believe that what is truth is that you must still follow the law. They believe it. And they believe it to the point that here comes Titus, a Greek man, a Gentile, and he's feeling the pressure. The word compelled there, compelled to be circumcised, is there's pressure being applied to him by the people that are around him, because of what they believe, what they think is true. And boy, that point right there, that's what I really believe the Holy Ghost wants us to focus on. Because as I even say it, it's just stirring something on the inside of me. What others believe is true does not necessarily make it truth, just because others believe it, and particularly when they're putting pressure on you to believe it. Man, that's what was happening to Titus right here. You know, he's feeling the pressure to be compelled to be circumcised. In other words, to enter into the rite of the Jewish covenant with God through circumcision. And if he would have done that, what he would have been saying is that I don't necessarily believe that I have received the circumcision of the heart. See, that's what we've received. When we receive Jesus, we receive a circumcision of the heart in the spirit, not in the flesh. We don't have to We don't have to be circumcised into the Abrahamic covenant. No. And neither did Titus. But the point, and I believe this with all my heart, that herein is where the Lord wants us to focus. He feels the compulsion from other people to do something that isn't truth, even though they believe it's true. They believe it. They believe it, and they're trying to compel him to put pressure on him. You need this. You need to do this. And I can't stress this enough. What they're trying to get him to do was not biblical, because the law had been fulfilled in Christ. It may have looked right. It may have sounded right to him at that time period. But the truth of the matter is, it was not truth. And see, I believe that this is what many, 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 many Christians experience on a regular basis at their churches, with their friends. They feel compelled to follow a dogma that maybe their group has adopted and declared to be truth, whether or not it is or it isn't. And if they want to stay a part of that group, in order to do that, they have to conform to what that group says. And unfortunately, most people just conform. Most people just fold right in. No matter what the Word of God says, doesn't matter, because they don't want to look like the odd man out. And in this case, let's look at this with Titus, verse 3, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. He was not compelled. Even though there was pressure being applied to him, thank God Titus didn't buckle at the knees. Titus didn't say, okay, if it'll make you happy, I'll go ahead and be circumcised. You know, hey, fooey on making people happy. Fooey on doing stuff to please other people. That's just not right. Particularly whenever they're wanting you to do something that contradicts the Word of God. You say, well, Mark, how could that be? It was contradicting the Word of God. Even though there was a bunch of people doing it, and a bunch of people claiming to be Christians in this time period, telling people, if you really want to be the select group, you should follow the law. Hey, there's that same mentality exists today in the church. You think it was just back then that they were trying to follow the law? That by following the law, that their actions produced righteousness, that mentality was only back then? Oh, heavens, no. It's not gone anywhere. You know, it's still present in the world today. The idea that it's not by grace, but it's by the actions that you achieve righteousness, that you're righteous before God. And that couldn't be farther from the truth. You're righteous because God made you righteous in Jesus Christ. You were born that way. You were born the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and it's not by your works. Glory, glory to God. We should rejoice in this. We should be so thankful that it isn't about anything that we could ever, ever, ever do. That it was only by what Jesus did for us And we can only receive it by faith. That's awesome news. It's because if I have to do something to try and get this, hey, I'm in trouble because I can't do enough stuff to be righteous. I can only receive it by faith and believe that I am, and believe in my heart that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not by my works, lest any man should boast. And thank God Titus didn't buckle at the knees. But Peter did. And we've talked about him, so I'm not going to cast stones at Peter. Thank God, I believe Peter straightened up. But let's go down through here because I want to get to another individual it really kind of surprised me, to be honest with you, that this person, because of the pressure to conform, that this person that we're going to talk about tonight conformed, that he was also in the group of the hypocrites when the people came from Jerusalem. Surprised me because this person that we're going to look at had done great things, but when the pressure to conform to the group think, to what everyone thought was right, when that pressure was on, this man conformed. This man accepted what everybody else said was true. And that's just dangerous. Just going along with the crowd just to get along, no matter if what they believe is true or not, that we will just side in with them. There's untold number of churches that are established on man's ideas about things. That, you know, maybe they have a portion of the gospel. Thank God they've got Jesus. They have him as Lord of their life. But then they have as you step down from Jesus and the resurrection and the fact that they're saved by faith and not by works, as they step down further and further, then they get into the clothes that they wear. Then they get into what day of the week you got to go to church and what day you you have to do this or, you know, you have to do that and you have to do this, and you have these regulations and you have these rules and none of that's God. You know, that's just man-made rules and doctrine. And then what happens is if you want to be a part of that group, you got to conform to those regulations. You've got to acquiesce to their demands or they'll kick you out. Go somewhere else. You want to pray in tongues? You can't do that here because we don't believe in praying in tongues. You better hit the road. Yeah, that's not God. And there's one after the other things that we have established as what we accept as true, when in fact it really isn't truth. It's not truth at all. And in order to continue to be a part of that little group of people, they expect you to fall in line. Are you going to do that? Are you going to fall in line with them? Are you going to stand up and say, look, I don't see where I have to wear this ugly dress in order to be a child of the living God. I don't want to wear this ugly dress anymore. I don't want to have to wear my hair this way or not wear jewelry or do this or go to church on Saturday or whatever it is. Thank God that Jesus, by grace, has saved me, and not by my own actions. Nothing I could do will earn me what Jesus gave to me in his death and burial and resurrection. It's mine by grace. It's his free gift to me. Hallelujah. So let's go back here to, let's look at this individual that I've been talking about. He talks about Peter here in the second chapter. We're going to jump in here at verse 9. And when James, Peter, is a Cephas, or Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars, received the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter, this is what we talked about before, was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. Can you just imagine Peter being afraid of these people? I just have a hard time with that. Here's a man that walked on the water with Jesus. Here's a man that talked to Jesus after his resurrection. And now he's struggling with the truth of the gospel to the point that he's afraid of these other people, these leaders from Jerusalem, these men from Jerusalem that came there. He's afraid, and as a result, he's being a hypocrite. He's separating from the Gentiles. That just is hard to grab hold of. I'm reading verse 11 again. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him. Now this is the part I wanted to get to. In so much that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Can you believe that? I've read this I don't know how many times, and it just seemed to just dance on the page when I was reading this. Barnabas, of all people, Barnabas, he joined in with their dissimulation. That means he joined in with their hypocrisy. When they were fellowshipping with the Gentiles, Barnabas was right there with them. But when they began to separate because of the hypocrisy, he separated too. This was the man that walked with Paul. They walked together ministering the gospel, being imprisoned for the gospel. Look back here. Let's just take a few minutes and look at Barnabas. Let's get a little picture of Barnabas, because it's startling to me to see a man so committed to the gospel as this man Barnabas. This guy wasn't playing games. He was serious. I mean, he committed his whole life to the gospel. And yet, when the pressure was on, and you all know what I'm talking about, when the pressure, when you're being pressured to conform to the peer pressure that's around us, this man who was so committed to the gospel, I mean, look at this. Look, go back here. Go back to Acts. Go back to Acts. We're going to look in chapter 4. Chapter 4. This is going to be the first mention of Barnabas. Chapter 4. We're looking at verse 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas. Okay, this is where we find him first mentioned, which he being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land. Now, this is what I'm talking about. You're talking about serious commitment. This man was a landowner. I mean, back in this time period, being a landowner, that's serious. I mean, you're somebody in this time period if you own land. And look at what he did. Having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Do you think that he was committed to the cause of Christ? Oh, most certainly he was. Was he playing games? Barnabas was not playing games. Barnabas was serious about his commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so a man with this level of commitment was being deceived. What we saw in Galatians chapter 2, that's a man that was deceived into believing that he had to conform to the dictates of what these other people believed, which was false doctrine. Let's just get right down to brass tacks. Their idea that you had to conform to the dictates of the law as a Christian was false doctrine. And here, Barnabas, who him and Paul had taught and preached together by this time in Galatians, here he is accepting, not just accepting, but conforming to false doctrine. And how many of us do this same thing every day? Conforming week after week to false doctrine. Things that are not true. Believing that it's true. You know, he had to at some level believe that maybe there's a chance I need to keep this law. That is not faith he's operating in. If in fact that was going on inside of him, and I have to believe it was, because he acquiesced to what those other people's thoughts and beliefs were, and it was false. But he followed them. He played the hypocrite. He separated from the Gentiles. Stay away from the Gentiles. Stop eating with them. Stop fellowshipping. Get away from them. Why? Because here comes the leaders from Jerusalem. We don't want them to see us mixing with those Gentiles. Oh my goodness. You know, when you spell it all out like that, you can see how wrong it really was. Just reading it on the pages, if you don't spend time really meditating and thinking about it, thinking about what's going on here, these people are rejecting Gentiles. I was born a Gentile. I was not born a Jew. They were rejecting us. What were they saying in that action? They were saying the gospel, we believe it's only for the Jews. That's really what they were saying. That's false doctrine. And they were guilty of it. Thank God for Paul and his stand of faith in the face of the people who were conforming to false doctrine. That was willing to stand up in the face of false doctrine and say, that is wrong. Even when it was coming from the those who were the somewhat among them, the leaders that came from Jerusalem, thank God, Paul said, no, that's not right. It's not right that we separate from the Gentiles. It's not right that we proclaim that the gospel is only for the select chosen, the Jews. No, that wasn't true. And Barnabas was carried away with them. I want to look back at that one more time. Back in Galatians 2. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. I'm going to read on here. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Boy, isn't that what I'm saying? Paul saw this. The truth of the gospel. What these people are doing is not truth. You know, if somebody says that healing is not for today, that not every person is should be walking in divine health today, that it's not available for every single person, if anybody was to say that, that is just as false as what they were saying there about the gospel was only for the Jews and not the Gentiles. Healing is for everybody. It's been bought and paid for in the blood of Jesus. And anybody, any group, any organization that says otherwise, that might say, well, God is holding it back to teach them something, or there's a timing about it, or anything else, any of that other gobbledygook, it is false doctrine. It's not truth. There's no timetable. The timetable was when Jesus died on the cross. That was the timetable, and it has been fulfilled in Christ. Healing is for every one of us to believe it and to receive it by faith. For those who believe that the Holy Ghost, being filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, is not true doctrine, that by saying kodo boshandarabasi tarabasi, if you believe that that is of the devil, you are believing false doctrine. And how many, even Pentecostals, even charismatic, spirit-filled believers, have been pressed into the mold of everyone else, and they won't even speak in tongues anymore because it's just not really. We want to keep that in kind of the back room. We don't want to run anybody else off. Oh, give me a break. That's just fearfulness on people's part. The truth is, the Holy Ghost has been given to us. That's truth. Anything other than that, for anybody to say anything else is false doctrine. It's not truth. It's as false as what these people were operating in when Barnabas acquiesced and he began to conform to the dictates of those leaders coming out of Jerusalem. I tell you, this stuff's all around us. It's all around us. This pressure to conform to what is generally accepted. We will accept this, but we won't accept that. It has to look a certain way for us. It has to be palatable for us. Oh, give me a break. That's just because it makes you a little uncomfortable. It don't mean it's not truth. It doesn't mean that it's not the true gospel. And thank God for Paul. Paul, as you read this, Titus stood with Paul. And thank God for Paul. I don't believe there's many on Paul's side at this point. I believe everybody else was, If you could have seen that room, it was probably Paul and Titus on one side, everybody else was right over on the other side, away from those dirty Gentiles. If they separated, if they walked onto the other side, if they separated from those Gentiles, they were accepting a doctrine that was absolutely 100% false. It was a lie. It was not truth. And see, this is what you have to ask yourself. What am I believing that's not truth? If it's not in here, if it hasn't been revealed to you by the Holy Ghost through these written words, if it's just something that you've heard a preacher say, but you don't have the gospel, you don't have the Word of God to support those claims, those declarations, you don't have truth. Truth only originates here in the Word of God. It doesn't come from what someone believes is truth. And well, maybe it's this way or maybe it's that way. No. No. And we have to have backbone enough to stand up and say, you know, that's not right. You know, this is truth. What you're proclaiming is not truth. And do it in love. Now, I don't know. When I look at Paul here, and I see how it says here in verse 11, but when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. So let's go on down here. Verse 14 again. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly, they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. That's the whole crux of the matter right there. They walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. And that's what we have to ask ourselves. And that's what we just have to lay ourselves bare before God and the Holy Ghost and say, what is inside of me that I'm believing that's not the truth of the gospel? What is false? What, you know, is there some part of me that still believes that, you know, healing is something that I'm going to receive in the future that is not mine right now? Do I believe that? Because I heard somebody say something sometime. Listen, I've heard people that they had they had risen to the place where they had their collars up real high, and you know they had big coliseums of people that would come and listen to them saying stupid things like, you know, well, the reason that so and so didn't get their healing was God was withholding it for a certain time. You can have all the collars raised up as high as you want. You can have all the letters behind your name. That stupidity is still false doctrine. Thinking that you got to wait for anything. No, you don't. There's no waiting. And whoever says it, they're wrong. I don't care who they are. There's no waiting. Healing belongs to us now. It's ours. We need to receive it by faith. It was paid for on the cross. Jesus is not going to the cross again. He paid the price then. It was made available to us. It was laid onto our account. And it's simply a matter of us receiving it by faith. Hallelujah. Mark, are you mad? I'm not mad. I get a little demonstrative, but I'm not upset. I get upset at false doctrine. I get upset when people conform to things that are not true. And then they start pronouncing it. You know, they say it enough times that they believe it themselves. And then they start trying to get other people to believe it. And it's not truth at all. And have you been sucked in, Mark? I have been sucked in. And I kicked myself afterwards. Kicked myself for believing something that wasn't truth. Believing that I had to do this, and then I had to do this and this, and then I had to do that. No, I had to believe. That was it. You know, when people start laying out all of their 5 steps to this, or 10 things you have to do in order to achieve this, or you have to do this or do that, and it doesn't originate from the Word, and it doesn't end with just believe and receive, I've got a problem with it. There's no formulas. It's just believe God's word. Believe what he said is true. Receive it by faith. Hallelujah. So here we are with Barnabas. And again, a man who was he committed? Sold his land. Not everybody back then had land. That was not common for people to have land. And this man, a Levite, so he was of the tribe of Levi. He was so committed to this. He believed in this. He believed in the gospel. Sold it and gave the proceeds of that land. That's committed, folks. And let's look at a few other things here. Let me see if I can find a couple other examples. So, okay, so here in chapter 9, we have the account where Paul is coming to Jerusalem. We're gonna pick up here. See if I can get. We'll read here in verse 23. This is after he had the Acts chapter 9 verse 23. This is after his where he was blind and then he was healed, and now he's coming to Jerusalem, and it's Barnabas who's helping him to be received. And we see that in verse 27, but let's go back to. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assayed to join himself to the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. So they don't believe he's a disciple. They're afraid. Why? Because this is the man who had received papers to go and to kill Christians. And we saw, you can go back and look, where he had approved the killing of Stephen. Stephen became the first martyr at the hands, basically, of Saul. So the church, the people in Jerusalem are scared of him, the Jewish people, the church, they're scared of him. And he's like, hey, I'm okay now. You know, I've been changed. And they're like, we don't believe you. We don't care what you, we don't, you're not coming in here. But I want you to notice something. Look at verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. So what do we see here about Barnabas? The leadership in Jerusalem, were they embracing Paul with Saul at that time with open arms? Absolutely not. They're not opening their arms to him. They're afraid of him because he killed people. He held the coats of the people. So basically, he's putting his stamp of approval on killing the Christians. So they're not excited. But who stepped in? This committed man named Barnabas. I tell you, there's so much about Barnabas that I so appreciate. And I see qualities of Christ in him, and how he was so committed. He was willing to take this chance, this leap of faith with Saul. And yes, you need to accept this man, you know. And so it was because of Barnabas that the leadership, the apostles, they accepted Paul. So thank God for Barnabas. So, and what's your point, Mark? My point is this: as we're looking at this man Barnabas, and we're seeing the level of commitment in this man's life and his willingness to step out in faith for Saul and bringing him to the apostles, when this was a man that was killing Christians, and Barnabas was willing to take that step of faith and to bring him in and to vouch for him before the apostles, and yet, even with all of that commitment and all of that willingness to step out, when you see him in Galatians, when you see him acquiescing to the ideas of the leadership that came there, and he played the role of the hypocrite. You know that word, a hypocrite, that they used back in the Greek, was really talking about someone that played a role like an actor in a play. And that's what they were, that's how they identified people that were playing the role of a hypocrite. They were presenting themselves as one thing, but actually in their heart there was something quite different. Now, I wanted to show you a little bit more about Barnabas. And why pick on Barnabas? What I'm trying to show you, and I really believe this was the path that God is wanting us to look at, someone that had such an effect on the early church as Barnabas, if it could happen to him, then could it happen to you? If someone could have such an effect. I mean, think about Paul and Barnabas. Think about the times that they were in prison. Think about the times when Paul was stoned and Barnabas was right there. The things that he experienced as a part of the early church, walking with Paul, ministering both of them together. And then for him to allow that pressure from these people to cause him to step back from the truth, to turn loose of that of the truth that this gospel's for everybody. Everybody. There's no Jews. There's no Gentiles. We are all Jews once we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. We're all baptized into Christ. Thank God for that. But here he is believing a lie. And so, again, I have to ask this. Do you know that everything that you believe is truth? Are you sure? Do you have the Word of God backing up what you believe to be truth? Or do you just have someone's rhetoric that you've heard, that you've been influenced by? You see, God has given us individually a teacher so that we don't have to depend on being on someone else to tell us what truth is. We have access to the teacher himself, the Holy Ghost, to show us, to reveal to us what's truth, and to show us, to reveal to us what is error. And just because someone stands in front of you And again, they have all these letters behind their name. They're PhDs, they're doctors of divinity. Just because they have a nice suit or they have a nice high collar, because they wear the right clothes, they say the right words, doesn't mean that what they're saying is truth, that it's the truth of the gospel. It's just like what we saw back here in Galatians, verse 14 of chapter 2. When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. I want to tell you something. When I look around and in this country, in the United States, when I look around at the churches and what is being promoted as truth, it makes me cringe. There's false doctrine coming from all directions. And we've got to know what is truth. And really, it's the Holy Ghost. It's His job to show us truth. So that we don't end up like Barnabas. We don't end up like Peter, acquiescing to what other people say. This is truth. Why? Because I said it is. Oh, baloney. I don't have to listen to you. I'll listen to what the Word of God says. And I'll listen to the Holy Ghost. But I'm not going to accept it just because you said it's truth. That's foolishness. which makes me think of how Paul started the third chapter of Galatians. Oh, foolish Galatians. I love these words. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? They're believing a lie. They're believing false doctrine. They're believing that they have to follow the law. And it was wrong. But people were preaching it. People were proclaiming it. People that had they had the right appearance. Maybe they had their hair nice and laid back, and they had the nice suit on, and they smelled real good, and they looked real good, and they sounded real good. But what they were saying was wrong. And Paul said, "Oh, you foolish Galatians." In other words, I told you the truth. I told you the truth. But now you have believed a lie. You have accepted false doctrine. And as a result, you've been bewitched. Oh my goodness. Someone has bewitched you to believe that it's not by grace, that you got to do something to earn righteousness, that is not a free gift, that you have to abide by the law. Go get circumcised. Paul fought this, and if we think that it's not present today, we're just as foolish as the Galatians. It is present. It is. It's like it's interwoven in so many of the doctrines that are being proclaimed today, and it's not truth. So let's do what Paul said here, and walk uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Let's do that. Let's walk uprightly. Well, Mark, how can I be assured that it's truth? The Holy Ghost is our teacher. He's the one. You see, you're not going to go to a man and find a man with everything straight. He's got all the right answers. Every doctrine, all of his doctrine is straight as an arrow, completely perfect. You're not going to find that man. So because you're not going to find that man, God gave us the third member of the Godhead to reveal truth to us through the Word of God. So what do we do? Mark, what's the answer? The answer is put the Word of God in your heart. Put the Word of God in your heart. Put the Word of God in your heart. Pray, pray in tongues. Ask the Holy Ghost to reveal truth. Fellowship with the Holy Ghost. Fellowship with your teacher. Allow him the opportunity to reveal truth to you, to declare what is truth and what's false doctrine. Ask him to reveal to you what you're believing that is not truth. And I believe that he will. I believe he'll just shine a light. Shine a light, and it will expose the wrong doctrines in your heart. So thank God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the teacher. Thank God for his word. So that we don't have to solely and completely depend on another human being to tell us what is truth. Because if that's the case, we're susceptible to wrong doctrine. We're susceptible to conforming to something that's not truth. See, that's why Paul wrote, and I'm going to finish with this verse in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. Have a metamorphosis take place. How? By the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. What is God's will for your life? God's will is his word. Get his word inside of you, and you'll know what his will is. Hallelujah. I hope that blessed you this evening. I hope that you are beginning to see that there's truth, but there's also false doctrine. And we don't want to be deceived. We don't want our actions to conform to false doctrine. We want our actions, we want to be conformed to the Word of God. To be transformed, I should say. Amen. I'd like to pray for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Holy Ghost. I thank you, God, for men like the Apostle Paul who would stand up in the face of false doctrine and refuse to buckle under and would show what was truth and what was false, and it helped people to see this is what was true doctrine and what was false doctrine. And I pray, Father, for every person that will hear this, Father, that they will ask to see what they're believing, which is false or which is true, that you would reveal it to them. I thank you, God. Thank you for truth. Thank you for true doctrine. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.